listening to an extra shot episode on the Project Zion podcast, a shorter episode that lets you get your Project Zion fix in between our full-length episodes. It might be shorter time-wise, but hopefully not in content. So regardless of the temperature at which you prefer your caffeine, sit back and enjoy this extra shot.
Welcome to Project Zion Podcast. This is Mike Hoffman, and we are doing Coffee at the Swarm today. And today I have with me Megan Bird, who is a senior at Graceland this semester and majoring in allied health. I'm really excited to talk to her about her experience at Graceland. She's been part of campus ministries for the last couple of years, working as the Sunday morning worship coordinator, and then the student pastor, and she's also the congregational financial officer here at Graceland this semester. So we're really excited about that. So Megan, welcome to the program. What would you like to share with?
Hello.
What would you like to tell us a little bit more about yourself?
So like you said, I'm an allied health major. I did come to Graceland originally as a nursing major, but changed right before my sophomore year. I'm still like very interested in health science, but I decided I liked the movement science better than the like clinical, treating someone in and out very quick. And I liked that I want to be a physical therapist, and I liked that you get to see your patient through the rehabilitation process rather than just you treat them immediately, and then once the immediate danger is over, they're gone. So okay. that was something that changed for me here at Graceland. I've been a member of Shalom for all 4 years, and it's a house that I enjoy being a part of very much. I found some of my closest friends there. I was actually lucky enough to become very good friends with my roommate, which doesn't always happen. You don't always become best friends with your roommate in college. Fortunately, that's how it worked out for me, and she's amazing. And like you said, I've loved being a part of campus ministries all 4 years, you know, getting to grow in my faith.
Yeah. Well, I know you came from the Southwest Missouri area. Where are you from originally, or where did you grow up?
My hometown is Carthage, Missouri. I've lived there my whole life, so a lot of people know Carthage because of Precious Moments.
Oh, yes, the Precious Moments chapel, isn't it? Yeah, okay.
Yes, Sam Butcher is the person that opened Precious Moments, and they've got this beautiful chapel with a lot of paintings done by Sam. And they also have like another building where they sell the dolls, and they have like life reenactments of the dolls and stuff. Actually, the Precious Moments of Carthage is not doing the best right now, but he has another one. Sam opened another one in the Philippines, and he spends more time in the Philippines.
That's really? Pretty... So yeah, you sound like you know him personally, do you? I mean, is that...
Somewhat, the land that he built Precious Moments on, what he bought from my family. So where the Precious Moments was my great grandparents' farm. So he bought the land from them, and the building behind there was all like, the parking lot was where the farmhouse used to be, and then the building behind is all, was all my family's land. And then there's a underground house down the street from Precious Moments that was eventually bought by Precious Moments also. And that was my great-grandma's house that she had originally built. She was quite the hoarder. Before they tore down the farmhouse, she took out all the toilets, doorknobs, sinks, everything, and then put it in this underground house that they built after selling the farmland to Sam. And then when they moved out of the underground house, because I think now it's like a bridal boutique. It's been a few things over the few years.
Yeah.
She took out all the doorknobs. toilet, sinks, anything, fixtures that she could get a hold of. And I remember as a kid being at her house that she moved to. I don't know if it was directly after moving out of the underground house she built, but it was the same trend every time she moved.
Every
I remember her garage full of all of this stuff. And if you ate at a restaurant, she would keep the containers and use them for like family events. If someone came over, she'd want to send food home with them, so she'd use the containers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and my great aunt dated Sam Butcher's son. So I more know of him than I, through family, than I know him personally.
Right, right. But it sounds like your family is pretty well connected to that whole movement there in Carthage then. So, yeah.
They've been there for a while. A lot of them have moved away now. Because my great-grandma and grandpa, my grandpa, great-grandpa and grandmother passed away now, but after selling the land, their kids were very young. They still have six kids, and some of them have moved away to, like, I know one's in Kansas, and actually most of them are back in Carthage now.
Okay. Well, that's cool. That's cool. So you grew up in Carthage. So what was your church experience in Carthage? I know a little bit about it, but...
I was not raised in the community of Christ. I actually wasn't raised in church at all. Unfortunately, my mom had struggled with feeling welcome at church because her family background was not the healthiest, and her mom did not take her to church. And she didn't. And then as she got older, she wanted to go, but she's one of those people that feels like she didn't know a whole lot about the Bible, so she wouldn't fit in. So it just made her a little uncomfortable. And my dad, his family is one of those, like, churches where you are and how you live. And his mom was sick with emphysema for most of his young adult life, so they didn't really... like go out to church a whole lot. So I hadn't been raised in a church. I didn't, but I wanted to be a part of one, you know, like I was very curious about God and what he could do for me. So I think I was about 8 when I started traveling around to different types of churches and stuff. I specifically remember I was baptized in Carthage Church of Nazarene, and I visited my grandpa's church quite a few times, and there was a Pentecostal church who a friend from school introduced me to. But I had trouble, like, fitting in. I felt like, maybe fitting in isn't the right word, but I was there to, like, learn and develop a relationship. And at these different places, I felt like it was more about going through the motions and doing worshiping how these different places had decided to worship rather than building your personal connection with God. So I had a hard time, like, finding my church home, which is funny because my introduction to the community of Christ was through Roger and Patrice Acree. They started a youth group called C5, Community of Christ, Carthage Children's Choir.
Oh, that's all my best. I've heard it called C5. I never knew what all the C's stood for. So
yeah, Community of Christ, Carthage Children's Choir. So Roger and Patrice were actually neighbors with my uncle and aunt, who I'm very close to. And I had known them for years and years and years, and they kept saying, you should join C5, you should join C5. And I was like, and I kept putting it off. But then when I started junior high, I think I was about 12 or 11 or 12 turning, I started joining C5, and I got introduced to a church that, you know, more aligned with my worldviews and stuff, and I, learning more about the Community of Christ, I eventually became a member. I was confirmed right before I turned 16. So, what I loved about Community of Christ was we traveled all over the C5. We went to different churches and we performed for them. We actually came to Graceland one year.
So maybe that was your first introduction to Graceland then through C5.
Yeah.
How old were you when you came? Do you remember?
To Graceland?
Yeah, when your C5 group came to Graceland, how old were you?
So when we came to Graceland, I had already been introduced to campus.
Okay.
So that was right the year before my freshman year that C5 did a service for Graceland. I think Umberto Tinsman was the Sunday morning worship coordinator.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And he had previously been a part of C5, so he knew about us and he invited us up to come to his church.
That was during my tenure here then. I do remember that. So, all right.
And then before that, I had come to SPEC with all of my friends from C5.
Okay, all right.
That's when I first got introduced to Graceland.
That's very cool. Okay. So when you made the decision to come to Graceland as a student, what were the factors there? What made you decide to come to Graceland?
Well, I'm a first-generation college student, so it was all very nerve-wracking for me and anxiety-inducing because I had come to college with the notion that maybe I wasn't smart enough to get through it. Mm-hmm. And I was telling my mom this last night that I think if I had gone to different schools, I probably wouldn't have continued on with college. I might have dropped out because the community and the support systems that Graceland has like installed through our university are very, very important for me, and they've helped me develop and grow, and I don't think you can get that at a lot of other schools. So I had said that the community was the most important driving factor for me coming here. At the time, I was originally considering being a nurse, so our nursing coach is very good, and that was another factor. I didn't even really look into other schools. I just kind of applied to Graceland and hoped they would let me in.
And they did, so.
Yeah. Worked really hard on getting scholarships, and the TRIO program has been great for me at providing resources and stuff.
Yeah, so the TRIO program is this federally funded program here at Graceland. A lot of other universities have it. I just want to make sure anyone listening to the podcast would understand that this is a sort of a student support service that not every university has, but I think I obviously haven't worked at other universities, but ours seems to be a top-notch program. I mean, it's for first generation, lower income students too, and it's just offers a lot of support for students that, you know, to be quite honest, I think I would have qualified for it when I went to school. Actually, Megan, as you were sharing, I didn't realize our stories are so similar. I mean, I didn't grow up going to church. I went to Missouri Western down in St. Joe, but I didn't even know Graceland existed at that point because I didn't join the church until I got to college. So as you were sharing, I could just empathize with you a lot about some of your experiences. So, yeah. And I remember the anxiety about applying for colleges and thinking about, oh, how do I get in and what do I do? Because I was a first-generation student as well. So, So let's talk about your experience at Graceland now. So you're a senior. You're in your last semester this fall. How would you describe, you know, I don't know if all of our listeners would be familiar, but there's this term out there called the Graceland experience, you know, so how would you describe your Graceland experience? I mean, you mentioned a little bit about your house, but
yeah.
I don't know. What else would you say about it?
when I came to Graceland, the two or maybe three most important factors to my experience were, outside of class, were my house, campus ministries, and the choir program.
Yeah, okay.
And a lot of those overlapped based on, like, who was doing what. And I think in most immediately I got the most support from my house. And it was very easy for me to become involved because there was a just some really awesome people on Shalom, and everyone was very open to sharing those experience with me and very welcoming. I think the residence life, I guess I would say mantra is you belong because you are here. No, there's like no other qualifications necessary. You don't need to know your money background, your ethnic background, your religious background. You simply belong because you are here. And I think they do a very good job of like acting on that. Campus ministries has always been really important because at the time I came here, Community of Christ started becoming very important to me because I love the church outview and especially the camp experiences and how we share Jesus with our youth. And so to be a part of campus ministries and to learn and develop more so I can take that back to the camps that meant so much to me and back to my congregation that's meant so much to me meant a lot. And I just really like working with the people in campus ministries because I think, Mike, you do a good job of establishing this like communal environment where everyone can just talk with each other and be open and there's no like stress involved with it.
You've been a big part of that, your time here, because we've had an exceptional group of students go through. I just feel very blessed about that. But, you know, I do agree with you. I remember the first semester I got here, I just felt like students were much more stressed out than I remember being, you know. And, of course, that's been many, many years ago. So I just thought, you know, let's reduce the stress every way we could. So I'm glad that I'm glad you've been a part of that because I think that's been an important thing for your honesty and involvement in campus ministry. It's been really appreciated. So,
yep. Thank you.
So what do you plan to do after you graduate? So you're majoring in allied health and you've mentioned, you know, shifting from nursing, but what are your plans?
So my goal is to graduate from Graceland with my previous requisites that I need to get into physical therapy school. And my outlook on physical therapy is I really enjoy maintenance of health because I have experienced mental health issues and I know that mental health can become very much physical. And I've also worked as a CNA. I graduated from high school with my certified nursing assistant license. So my freshman year, I worked in the nursing home here in Moni. And you just see how much taking care of your body can affect how you live in your older life. So I'm really interested in the rehabilitation maintenance of health because there are so many people that come to the nursing home who are away from their families and isolated, especially right now during COVID. I'm sure mental health has not been doing very well because you need that connection. And as you get older and all your relatives and friends and stuff start to pass away, that becomes harder and harder to achieve. So I see how important it is to take care of yourself. Because the better you take care of yourself, the easier it is to connect with others. And there are so many, like, handicaps that you can experience as you get older that kind of prevents those connections, whether it's not being able to walk or talk directly, whatever it is. So I care a lot about, you know, just maintenance of health and being able to live a healthy lifestyle because I also think that affects how you live spiritually. I really just physical therapy. And I mentioned seeing people through their rehabilitation rather than a lot of times as a nurse, you see someone at like the worst part of their lives and then you don't ever see them again.
Don't see them,
and that can be very stress inducing and, you know, yes. It's very uplifting to see someone throughout the rehabilitation and watch their recovery and have that connection with them, rather than the alternative. But I do think, there's a lot of grace and, you know, strength that comes from being a nurse as well. It's just, I had a different outlook on what I wanted to do in my career.
And it from, you know, as I know you, I know that you're into relationships and healthy relationships. And so that doesn't, as you explained that makes a lot of sense to me that, you know, like I appreciate nurses, don't get me wrong, because they do incredible things. And I guess for long-term patients, they do develop relationships, but maybe not always. And you're talking about helping somebody physically over the long term and almost staying with them until they get to a better place in life. So again, it goes back to your relational sort of connections and emphasis. That's really, that's very good. That's good. I appreciate that. So turning a little bit here, you know, one of the, I wondered if any of this relates to like your hopes for Community of Christ in the future. I mean, you know, you've mentioned about going back to your congregation and giving back to it. Do you have any thoughts about what your hopes are for the church in the future?
Well, I really like a lot of what Community of Christ does. And I know it's going through kind of a hard time right now. But I think my hope for the Community of Christ is outreach, like focus on outreach. And focus on love. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's going on politically. There's a lot of humanitarian acts that need attention. And I love that the Community of Christ has been involved and has been not like other churches in the Midwest can't be. They're very open and their stance is love. And that has always meant so much to me. Because I don't think I have the right to judge anyone. I don't think the church has the right to judge anyone. I think ultimately that's up to Jesus. And I think from what I've read of the Bible, and I may be wrong, but I think that Jesus wants us to have the opportunity to choose our faith in him. So I think the best way to go about to reach out to our communities, to reach out to the world, is to establish a loving, like you said, like relationship. I'm really big into developing healthy relationships and stuff. So I actually got the chance to meet the people that run Health Ed Connect through Roger and Patrice. And I love the programs that they have going on. And World Conference has always been amazing, and I just don't know a whole lot of churches at this world level who allow people the chance to like see how we run things and then vote for what we think is important and what we think needs to change, especially on a national level. I thought that's really cool and something that we should definitely be proud of and continue. I'm trying to think, because I think a lot about what I want for the church.
What you've said is incredible. It's really important to, and I appreciate your perspective. I mean, it's, I don't know that I would have had your perspective when I was your age, so I do appreciate what you're sharing. I mean, it's like very profound. And I don't know, is there anything else you'd like to share about Graceland, the church, your future? how it all works together?
I think it definitely all works together because Graceland has taught me this community outlook that I was really craving. I got a little bit of it with Community of Christ, but that group of friends that I developed were so close-knit that I hadn't really had practice in reaching out and, you know, inviting others. So that's something that kind of grew with my time at Graceland and learning how to talk to other people. And I really started to grow my development of learning about different cultures and the understanding of how different people live, because we do have such a variety of international students that come here. And Graceland has a lot to do with my development of my relationship with the church, because Community of Christ, the church is very different in many different places that you go based on like the congregation and how closely they align with the World Church's connections and stuff like that. So I actually received a calling to be a priesthood member. I was called to the position of priest. And I think that has a lot to do with how I want to live my life as a physical therapist. Should I get accepted? And, as just a human being, I think there's a lot that we can learn to do to develop our lives, because right now, I'm just thinking a lot of like all the humanitarian issues that need attention and what I can do as a human being. I think like living my life, filled with more love and understanding and capabilities for outreach is super important. And I really believe that improving things on a smaller scale will make a very big difference on a large scale. And bring more people to the church. I don't think people like having religion shoved down their throats. So I've thought a lot about the best ways to share, my experiences, because they've meant so much to me, and I think they can make a difference for someone else too. And I think the best thing I can do is to show them love, to show them compassion, and to be outright, you know, like very forthcoming with my faith and my relationship with God and how I got there.
Yeah. Well, Megan, thank you for this opportunity to talk to you. I think that's been a tremendous interview. Thank you for sharing time with me. Megan Bird, a senior at Graceland. We so appreciate this, Megan, and wish you well going into the future after this semester. So,
thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Megan. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Project Zion Podcast. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, or whatever podcast streaming service you use, and while you are there, give us a 5-star rating. Project Zion Podcast is sponsored by Latter-day Seeker Ministries of Community of Christ. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are of those speaking and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Latter-day Seeker Ministries or Community of Christ. The music has been graciously provided by Dave Hines.